بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind. Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of sitting and listening to some advices regarding our islah. These advices we take from our mashayikh, salaf al-saliheen, or from Quran and hadith to do with our islah, our spiritual reformation, how we can cleanse and purify our hearts, how we can refrain from all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to indulge in. How we can do those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, Allah desires from us. How we can gain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we can remind ourselves that Allah is our master, we are His slaves. We need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not occasionally, but every moment of our life, every second of our life, every breath that we take, har sans Allah ko razi karna hai. Every breath we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do slip, we do commit sins, we are weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks our sins. Allah ta'ala gives us a tawfiq of making tawbah, istighfar. Sincere tawbah, sincere istighfar. And like this, we are traveling on this journey. So we will stand up, sometime we will stumble, we will fall, we will falter, we stand up again. And we continue in this way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ways for us to reach Him with ease. And as we mentioned previously also, this road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very easy when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our sincerity. So the bottom line of all our actions, the good deeds that we do, is ikhlas. Do things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will give us from His treasure. Allah ta'ala will give us from the treasures, from the mercies that He has, His rahmat. Allah will give us tawfiq of doing good a'mal. Once we do one good deed, with sincerity, Allah accepts it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us an opportunity of doing another good deed. And this is how we will increase in good deeds. So from salat, then you start reading Quran, you start making dhikrullah, again you get tawfiq of making tawbah, istighfar, then you become generous and you start giving charity, and then you realize that you have to make sure you read all your 5 times salat, and then you realize that you haven't discharged your zakat properly, so now you begin to discharge your zakat properly. So what is happening? You're making your life in order. Otherwise our lives will just wind away, just pass away in ghaflat, in negligence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time will go past and we have not even moved closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has created maut, Allah has created life, Allah is giving us an examination in this world, and we all have to succeed. We all have to pass. Nobody can say, no, whatever happens, happens. I can, even if I fail, it doesn't make a difference, ma'ad Allah, because this examination is a very serious examination. The result, you get jannat, you get salvation. It is a perpetual place of happiness and ease and comfort and bliss, where there is no pain, there is no suffering at all. But if you fail, then there is perpetual suffering, misery in Jahannam. Allah save us all from Jahannam. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Oh Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, give us Jannatul Firdaus. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, so kind, so kind. And all of us require a reminder. In the morning also, if the wife tells you, gives you a list, then you tell, okay, just remind me later on. Send me a message. Or you write it down. You keep this piece of paper or this note, and you require that reminder. All of us, we tend to forget. And especially in the lives that we are living. The entire day we have become so consumed, so we forget. But forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah wants from us, there is something serious. And we cannot afford to become ghafil. Therefore we have these programs, majlises. Believe me, it is, in the end it will give us, It will pay a lot. And we will see the fruit of it, provided we are sincere. Provided we are sitting here with the intention, not just a weak intention, a very solid intention, a very sincere intention. In actual Arabic is not just a niyat that you're making, but you might have azam, azmun. Azmun, a firm resolution, firm determination. That I genuinely want to change my life. And not just want to change my life, but that I must take those steps towards changing my life. And this is the only way we will make taraqqi and progress in our spiritual state. Otherwise we will be the same, and years will go past, taqwa will remain the same, our love for Allah Ta'ala will remain the same. Tawbah, istighfar, not much. Quran, the amount we read, it's still the same. There's no improvement in our salat, no khushu in our salat, no khudu in our salat. Our lives, we were making ghibat of people, carrying tales, lying, cheating, deceiving, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, akhlaq. Instead of getting better and improving, it's getting more bad, getting worse. So all this should not happen. If you sit sincerely, inshallah, we don't look at numbers, how many people come in. Believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we sit sincerely with the intention of making amal, as I mentioned last week, Hazrat Mawlana said, talab, the desire, comes from the audience like a child that is hungry and wants milk from the mother. The moment the child cries, automatically the breast of the mother is filled with milk to feed the child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the right words. Most in need is the speaker himself. He is most in need. He also, his intention not just to make islah of people. Believe me, he has to have the firm intention, Ya Allah, whatever I am saying, I need to bring this into my life. And nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we say something and we give the waaz and nasihat, but we find that we are faltering ourselves. So by speaking to others, Allah Ta'ala gives you the tawfiq, because your ears are closer to your mouth and you are listening to your voice first. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the tawfiq now. So you are commanding people and you are advising people and you're not doing the same. So Allah Ta'ala then gives you a jolt and you think, Ya Allah, so many people who I spoke to, they have brought this into their lives. Now why shouldn't I bring into my life? If Allah gives the person tawfiq also. So the speaker, listener, every person, inshallah, sincerely, Ya Allah, whatever is being said, I need to bring this into my life. Bring into your life and then also pass it on to your wife, your children, your close ones at workplace, provided we explain the malfuz correctly and properly. So alhamdulillah, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel Rahmatullah is malfuzat we are doing, and so much of benefit in it, because we have heard this before and we have heard many of his talks. These are like all summary of all his different talks that he had given. And tonight we'll discuss a few, inshallah, in which he says, the more nonsense you listen to, the more darkness will enter your heart. The more nonsense you listen to, the more darkness will enter your heart. Now we don't realize this. Many times we chit-chat, we gossip, and we sit, especially after Isha. And after Salat, we'll stand outside, and we'll talk. And we start, what's new? And then we start, and some person will crack some wise joke, and then sometimes we start ghibat, and sometimes we laugh at somebody, and somebody is mocking, and we're asking about what's happening in town, and we're making ghibat, and we're carrying tales. We're not realizing that we are bringing in ghaflat and darkness into our own heart. There are various ways of bringing darkness into one's heart. Through the eyes, if a person sees haram. Through the ears, a person listening to nonsensical things. The mouth also. So different ways of bringing darkness into our heart. And we don't realize this. A person might think, Allah save us, if I'm committing zina, then darkness will come into my life. It's not only zina. It's not only certain gunas that we do. Even these things we don't realize, that talking unnecessarily and listening to nonsensical talk, so we don't even stop the person from talking nonsense. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ ذِكْرَ مَعَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Khulasa of this, people are talking nonsensical things, things of ghaflat, dunyawi things. It's not going to benefit you even in dunya, not even in akhirat. So only filthy things, laughing. And so what happens? Person is making ghibat. Quran Sharif teaches us, when you see people engrossed in these type of nonsensical, futile talks, they are backbiting, slandering. So what you do? You must move away from. First, you try and change the subject of discussion. If you are unable, then you move away from there. And then you can come back the moment you see that they have changed the topic of discussion. Now they're talking some sense and something good, then you can come back. For some reason, if you sat and you also got engrossed and shaitan made you forget, the moment you remember, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ don't sit مَعَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ with such people who are wrongdoers. They are zalim. They are oppressing themselves. They are being wrong. So by listening to nonsensical talks, what's happening? Darkness is coming into our heart. And therefore it's important to make sure we don't listen to haram. And not only haram, sometimes the thing may be permissible, but it's mubah. Mubah means permissible, not necessary. It's not wajib. It's not compulsory to listen to it. It's mubah. It's permissible. And many times a mubah thing, something which is permissible, leads to something which is impermissible. And therefore, mashayikh were very careful, even if something is jais, permissible to do, not necessary. So there's a difference. You want something is necessary for you to do, and something is permissible. Sharia says, okay, it's permissible. Sometimes in those permissible things, it may lead a person to some wrong. So mashayikh were very careful. They won't even indulge in those things which are mubah also. And we have with us, who was this? Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahab. Damat Barakatum, tonight he's in Port Shepston. A very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came to the madrasa on Saturday, and amongst the beautiful advices he gave, one particular point he mentioned that really made me ponder and reflect. He says, something which is mubah, something is permissible. Shariat won't say it's haram, don't say not jais, it's permissible. But he says, this mubah thing, it won't stop you from getting salvation in the akhirat. No. It's permissible. Sharia says jai. So you did it. There's no guna. So you can still get jannat. But he says, maqamati aliya se mawani hai. It will stop you from getting higher stages in jannat. Mubah thing. If you really ponder, these people have, they know many incidents behind it, reasons, hikmat. So sometimes something is mubah. To stand, to speak to some person is permissible. But what happens after that, as you speak, now ghibat, and then you start gossiping, you carrying tears, see where it led to. To speak to some person, of course, you could be friendly, you could be kind, you could be sociable. But sometimes, you saw that, now when I speak to him, initially it's okay, then afterwards we start engrossing in other things. So then, now it's going to lead you to haram, Sharia tells you abstain from it. So mubah, something which is jais, won't stop you, won't become an impediment, an obstacle for you to enter into paradise. However, to get darajat, higher position, and that is what we should be aspiring for. Ulaika lahumu darajatul ula. Don't just try to make the grade a pass, it's okay. Of course, Allah gives us jannah, we have passed such a great ni'mat. But even in jannah, there are ranks, there are stages, and we should aspire to get higher and higher and higher and higher. And closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, in the dua, we read, after azan, Ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmood. Maqaman mahmood is the highest position. Rasulullah has said, I hope, I desire that I get it. Allahu Akbar. And there is the dua we read after azan. That give, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi, maqaman mahmood. And so important to read the dua after azan. I mentioned previously also. The person who replies to the muaddin when he gives azan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we say the same thing. And after azan, the very first thing you read is Durus Sharif. First thing is Durus Sharif, comes in hadith of Rasulullah. Immediately after Durus Sharif, the dua after azan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tama. If you do this, Rasulullah says, Hallat lahu shafa'ati. My intercession for this person on the day of Qiyamah becomes wajib for him. I definitely will intercede on such a person. On behalf of such a person. All we did dua after azan. In the dua after azan, we're actually making dua for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave his entire life for us. Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati. In the dua we say, Aati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila. Wa ba'athu maqaman mahmood al-ladhi wa'atahu Allah. Give him that maqam al-mahmood that you have promised him. Nabi Kareem said, you read this dua after azan, my shafa'at, my sifarish, my intercession will become wajib for you. So again, we should aspire to get higher and lofty status and ranks in Jannat. So So this malfus, the more nonsense you listen to, the more darkness enters into your heart. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from listening to sometimes somebody, you need to tell him nicely, but let's change the subject. What are we getting by making a ghibat? We're only destroying our amal. What's the need of gossiping? May Allah forgive the brother. May Allah cover his faults. We need to do these type of things and advice. Because what happens, we just keep quiet, so we part and parcel of that sin. This is something that will sell very well on the stock market. I think I mentioned this previously, but it's related again. Something that sells very well on the stock market is speech. Speech is unlimited. We speak and we speak and we speak and we give speeches. Everyone is giving speeches, but very few of us are making amal. Bayan is important. Waaz, nasihat is important. And every function, I mean, I must have a talk, must have a bayan. Bichara, believe me, in the wedding functions that it has become customary that the first recital is the qiraat, mashallah, and then we have a bayan. But by the time the bayan is over, the papur and the achar and all of the things on the table is already finished. And the cool ring is half drunk and also the water. Nobody is interested in listening to bayan that time. And the molana is being on and on and on. It is customary, you know, we get barkat, must have a qiraat, must have a dua. Wait, everything took place in the masjid. If you're feeding the people, then feed the people and then carry on. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he also had walima in his house. When he married Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, there was no bayan he gave there. In fact, Nabi Kareem finished eat, sahaba ate, many of them came. They were sahaba after eating still sitting there. The actual correct way after you eat, فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. And most of us are negligent regarding this command of Allah. Most of us. Allah forgive us, even learned people. After eating at somebody's place, or even some function, whatever it is, you must stand up, and you must then leave. فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ. You finish it, فَانْتَشِرُوا. Disperse. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. Now you don't start chit-chatting. Nabi Kareem Sallam is finished. She just got married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. Beautiful incident. Allah performed her nikah in the asman to Rasulullah Sallam. Nabi Kareem Sallam fed the sahaba. Walima took place. Simple walima it was. But some of them still sitting. So he made up like now he's standing up to leave. So that they may be take notice that he's also wanting to leave now. So they will also leave. Many of them left, but there were three sahaba who still remained and they were busy talking. Nabi Kareem Sallam was Rahmatul Alameen. Such mushfiq, so much of shafqat, muhabbat. He couldn't tell him, bhai, come on, move it up now. I want to go. It was difficult for him to do that. So what he did? He went to his wife's home. As it says in Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the other wives, Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Ajib. They knew he got married. And imagine being a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want him for yourself the most. They used to have this little bit of envy for the others. But when he got married, walima took place. When he went, he made salam, they made walikum salam. The very first question, how did you find your wife? They asked him. So after finishing, in fact it was Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who narrates the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back. There were three sahaba sitting, one realized, so he went away. There were two Mosul sitting. And Nabi Kareem saw that they were still not gone. Until finally he came and then they realized that they're sitting so long. So Quran Sharif says that you finish eat, then you must disperse. They need to clear up the place. You've got the ladies who are cooking all the time. Sometimes it's a small place. They're stuck in the kitchen, they can't come out from there. And we are carrying on and talking and talking and talking as though we're not going to leave the place. All this is the cliff. Our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi was extremely, extremely, extremely particular in these matters. This is what he called tasawuf. Not big, big bayans and make it heavy dhikr and all wazifas. No. These things, they don't give any person any type of taklif. When you go to somebody's house, the same thing. Whatever is there, eat whatever is there. Don't ask for extra things. And even assist them in lifting the dasarkhan. And then we leave. Now those women folk may be hungry. They're also going to eat food. If you're going to finish 11, 12 o'clock in the night, then how are they going to clean up? So all these little things are very, very important. So Hazrat Maulana had mentioned that everyone is giving speeches, but very few of us are making amal. So again, we are giving bayans, we give Jummah bayan, this bayan, that bayan, and we also give many bayans also. So what happens? We are not making amal. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Always. You can have shorter bayans, but maqsad must Allah make me make amal. Inshallah, we almost have this in our lives now. Make this intention, inshallah, that I need to make amal. And start from one point. Inshallah, you carry on the second and third point. If you don't start, nothing will happen. Hazrat Maulana says that just being able to give a good speech is no qualification to answer all the questions on the Quran, Sharif and Sunnah. Just being able to give a good speech, a person is very eloquent. He's master in the English language, for example. Very good in Arabic or Urdu, whatever it is. So he's a master, or he's just being able to give a good speech is no qualification to answer all the questions on the Quran, Sharif and Sunnah. And we find this problem. The person is not even a scholar of deen, not even an alim. He hasn't studied by a person who himself had adequate or sufficient or grounds, solid knowledge on Quran and Hadith. So he didn't have a ustad. He just studied here and there, read one or two books or things that appeared in the internet, and now he is beginning to give speeches because he's good in the language. So this does not mean that he is the authority. This is the problem we're having today in the whole world. The man may be very eloquent. Maybe he can get the attention of the crowd. But he does not have solid knowledge of Quran and Hadith. So yes, if a person has got both, well and good. So many times a person has good understanding in Quran and Hadith, but he's not eloquent enough. But you can still benefit. In fact, he is the person you need to understand your Quran and Hadith from. The other person does not have understanding. He just studied a few books. Imagine you and I study a few books of medicine. There are doctors sitting here. And now I think, I know a lot, I read about this. So I will start giving my prescription. It happens a lot. Every single day there's something new in the market. Some type of new treatment will come out and we will now pass it on to others. You must do that. I'm telling you, this, I came right with this. The doctor just laughs at us. But you don't even know what you're talking about. In fact, it's going to be detrimental for this person. He's a sugar patient or he's a heart patient. You're giving this, it's going to cause him harm. We don't know all these things. So how can we become authority and like act like doctors? The same thing comes to deen. You have to give sacrifice. It's not just becoming an alim also. It's a person that Allah give us faqahat of deen, understanding of deen. We have to bring it to our lives and bring the lives of people. You have to direct people, guide people. Different occasions, sometimes you have to give this answer to that particular person in his case. This is the story, this is the solution for him. The masses in general, if you look at Quran, Hadith, look at what the fuqaha have said, what Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah has mentioned, what Imam Shafi rahmatullah has mentioned, Imam Malik rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. These were great scholars who gave their lives. And if you don't understand the understanding, the usul, the principles of jurisdiction, if you don't understand Quran, that's the first source, the primary source, then Sunnah. We don't know what is ijma', we don't know what is qiyas, we just apply our own analogy and we make our own ijtihad and we say, no, in this stage, this is the story, we must do this. And this is where all the problem in the ummah is coming. The correct medication was there, but now we started mixing and what we felt like doing, so we took different bottles of medication and we mixed our own, made our own mixture. And instead of giving the cough mixture to the person to cure his cough, we made him drunk. Serious. Now who are you going to explain? Everybody wants to be an authority. Even if you master in Arabic, the ayats in the Quran, Sahaba, who were greater, who had more knowledge in Arabic than the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, they were all master, Quran came in Arabic. There were times, one simple word, the word Abba in the Quran. Umar ibn Khattab asked Nabi Akram, what is the meaning of Abba? And we say Abba means father. Abba in Arabic doesn't mean that. You're talking about the fodder of the animals. And various in the hadith. Mal wahnu ya Rasulullah. What is the meaning of wahan? We don't understand. This word we understand. Famal mutafayhiqoon. What is mutafayhiqoon? We don't understand. So Nabi Kareem would then explain to Sahaba. They were masters in the Arabic language. Yet they didn't understand so many words. So you can be a master in Arabic, but not necessarily authority on Quran and Sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala save us. We can't explain more. We have to be intelligent enough to understand who we are taking our deen from, so that we may be guided. So it's not just being able to give a good speech that you are now qualified to answer all the questions based on Quran and Hadith. Hazrat Mawlana then says in another malfuz, as many mouths, similar to this, as many mouths as there are many opinions we have these days. Exactly what I'm saying now. Everyone has an opinion and wants to voice it, whether right or wrong. Let's look at ourselves. Friday or whenever we meet at home, when the whole family is there after Jummah, on a Sunday or Saturday, what are we talking about? Something that's taking place in the world or some dini aspect. Now again, each person is giving his opinion. And he's very vociferous about it. He doesn't understand whether it's right or wrong. So he's giving his opinion. Now we should refrain from such things. Yes, learn Quran and Hadith. And then when you succeed in that and you have given great sacrifice, and there's no end to learning. Believe me, every single day, we realize how much we don't know. And we are researching every single day. Nobody has mastered. They say, I know everything in the Quran, and all the tafsirs, and all the ahadiths, and everything. Every single day we check commentaries of the mutaqaddimeen, scholars of the past, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi. We look at what Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah has mentioned. We look at what the Mashaykh had mentioned, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi, Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi. Right to the tabi'in sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, you should see this. Now every single day we have to learn and refresh, and sometimes you forget and then again you're reminded. So it's not just learning, doing a course and now you can just give everything. Yes, Allah Ta'ala bless people that they have good memories, etc. But what I'm saying, there is no end to knowledge. So we have to learn. So here Hazrat Mawlana says that as many mouths as there are, there are many opinions that we have these days. Everyone has an opinion and wants to voice it, whether he's right or wrong. The temptation is great to become rich overnight. As the Mawlana says, the temptation to become rich overnight. The temptation is great to become rich overnight. Everybody wants to become, as we say, Ilani. Everybody wants to become rich overnight. So what happens? He says, therefore people get caught up in gambling and lotto or lottery. The issue is not about luck. If anyone wins, he is most unlucky. He will only find problems and problems accompanying haram. The moment haram comes into you, you want a lotto or lottery or some gambling bet, Allah save us, horse race, whatever took place, you betted there, you won, you got that money, that is going to destroy all your wealth. The barakat of your wealth is already spoiled, and it has to be flushed out immediately. So stay away from haram, gambling. Many people, I remember once somebody was having a problem financially, and Mawlana gave him everything to do, solution, do this, do that, do this, do this, this wazifa, and try and do this. Everything is reading. He's reading namaz also. Finally, Mawlana asked him, check, I'm not accusing you, but have you gambled? Are you gambling? Then he confessed, he said, yes, I'm gambling. Because of his gambling habits, he was always in financial difficulty. That doesn't mean everybody in financial difficulty, now you may say, must be you gambling. No. But there are many people. Things are not coming right. One after the other. And big, big, big losses. Amounting in the thousands and thousands. And when you look at it, he's gambling. He became a bimari. He became addicted to it. He just can't get out of it. He's waiting to go to the casino. And he spent his whole night. And so many people had mentioned, we saw such a person, we see him in the masjid, good beard, sometimes kurta also. We see him coming out every night from there. Of course, some Imam Husn has done, he's not doing any haram, but people have seen people gambling. And people who gamble become so obsessed in the casino. They spend hours, that they even have to wear adult diapers. They won't even go to relieve themselves because they want to win. Now all this money Sharia says is haram, is only going to bring you bad luck, not good luck. If you want a lotto, you want something haram, you gamble and you want, as it says, you're not lucky. Nothing to do with luck. You're unlucky. That money is going to destroy all the barakat of your rosy. It's going to bring bechain in your life. Your losses will go more and more. You'll incur more and more losses. You'll become a pauper. You'll have to beg from people. You'll become insolvent. It'll cause you dishonor, disgrace in the dunya. All you need to do is refrain from gambling. Don't gamble. So this is what Hazrat Mawlana says, that he'll find only problems and problems accompanying haram. When a person does haram like this, he'll only have musibat. The next one he says, in these days, we have our wives, daughters, and family women working in the business. We have our wives, daughters, and family women working in the business. Talking about going to the shop herself, or the factory. One is working from home and doing the books, or something else. But here we're talking about in the working place itself. So you're taking your wife there, or your daughter, or your sister, whoever. Interacting with ghair maharim. Your maqsad is we must get busy and we make nafo and make profit and we can get, wealthy. I mean, we need to go here and go there. So you're not realizing you're putting your wife in that position. You're putting your sister, your daughter, and they're interacting with people who are not the mahram. Sometimes they get involved with staff members. I'm not going to say things for nothing. He had seen cases like that, hundreds of cases. So he says, interacting with ghair maharim, or sometimes they get involved with staff members, or they are left to take delivery of stocks. So okay, don't give up heavy work. The stocks come, just deliver the stocks just to make sure everything is right. But the delivery man takes delivery of them. And the wife or the daughter then elopes. Now what he runs for? Maulana needs a taweez. This happened. But at the beginning you didn't listen to the Maulana. Oh, this Maulana is a very narrow-minded man. That's what we say. Put the fault, we are at fault. Don't put your wife in that predicament. If you require some assistance, then give some place at your home or a separate place for her where she's not interacting with any ghair maharim. Again, something will start, something with jaiz mubah, and slowly interacting, okay. It's okay, that guy is alright. Which guy is alright? No person is alright. Nafs and shaitan is every person. The older you get, your nafs getting stronger also. So sometimes we feel, no, he's okay. Many times we think, no, he's just garden boy. Oh, he's just helping here. We don't understand. This is not narrow-mindedness, this is Sharia. As much as how intelligent we may be and we may be thinking that nothing is wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows is wrong. Rasulullah knew is wrong. So these are things which has taken place. And look at the ummah throughout. I'm thinking every day we see child raped. Small baby is raped. How can a man who is sane, how can he ever do such a thing? What leads him to it? It's not just one case that somebody was not right in his head and he did it. It's happening almost every single day. Going on the road, placard. Woman rape, man rape, school, teacher. How is it happening? What is the root problem? We're not looking at the root problem. So we want to live a very sinful life, a life of freedom and do as we want. And then we are facing these type of serious problems. Not an easy thing for a woman, a young girl. Imagine a baby being raped. Whole life of the child is barbad. So all this is happening, why? Because we're not following what Quran and Hadith say. In Quran and Hadith, telling us something, we say, no, all these Maulvis made their own rules. Move, progress with time. So what's going to happen? This will happen. Then the delivery man will take delivery of your wife. Allah protect our woman folk. Allah protect the Izzat. Allah protect our daughters, our children, grandchildren. Allah keep the izzat. So if you are having this problem, try and make, if you go the right way, there'll be tests, believe me. But Allah will make an opening for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. I promise you, promise you, promise you. You fear Allah subhanahu. Never mind, I'll make less profit this month. Never mind. But I'm not going to put my wife in the business. I'm not going to put my daughter there. And inshallah, you see, Allah will make an opening for you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for you from unseen sources. The only problem we have, our yaqeen is weak. Quran is saying, we read it, ayat, it's for us to make amal. So you will see, it might not necessarily be one, tomorrow I did this and the next day so much of money must come. No, go through the phase, go through the process, inshallah, but you will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will thank the person who advised you, alhamdulillah, you saved me. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Hazrat Mawlana says, very important, many people have the same problem. He says, after having made sincere tawbah, you should not keep looking back. You made sincere tawbah, no matter what type of filthy life you led in the past, no matter what you did, you made sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, hukukul ibad, you give back the person whatever was due to him. Talking about hukukullah, you made sincere tawbah. Now he says, don't look back, look ahead. Consider yourself worthless, but don't hesitate in asking Allah Ta'ala for the best out of His mercy. Why limit His mercy? When Allah is prepared to forgive you. What happens when you think back? Hey, I did this, I did that. Shaitan will make you mayus. Even though you made sincere tawbah, Shaitan will still bring about thoughts. You say, no, no, man. I don't think you'll reach them. That's for all the pious people. So he'll make you go back to that old temptation. Sometimes he plays the reel of the past and he makes you enjoy the lazzat that you enjoyed previously, which you made tawbah from, you stopped it now. But that old fantasy and that old haram thing that you were involved in, again for a few moments you start enjoying that. And now you feel, let me go one more time. Person gave up his drugs, finish. He made sincere tawbah, he changed his life. And he's becoming so clean. And suddenly the thought of one day how he was with his friends and how he did it, and again, so he must take it out immediately. Don't even entertain the thought, because the shaitan is trying to make you feel for the drug again. So you think, okay, I am now much stronger. That time I was weak. So I take one or two, proper one or two tablets, nothing will happen. Believe me, you're going to go back into that gutter again. And be confident now. When Allah says, I am Ghafur Rahim, Allah loves to forgive us. Allah, I made tawbah to Allah. Have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So don't go keep on playing the reel of the back and thinking of the past, I did this, I did that, because shaitan will only make us mayus. Then this is the malfus, all people doing work of deen. The work of deen is only a job of ulama, or here and there, few people in some organization. Every one of us can be a worker of deen. Every one of us. There's something we can all do. And especially when you're coming to helping, doing some welfare work. He says, the work of deen does not allow you to rest. We have to die. Inshallah, we will have rest then. And Hazrat Mawlana's life also. Whole day, night, same story. All the mashayikh, ulama, day and night. It's not like you just have a rest and you go on for a holiday. Even your holiday, you have to answer your phone. And the person expects you to help him. So email will come, cell phone, you'll get ringing. You have to carry on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was being made a Nabi, when he got Mubuwat, what did he say? La rahata ba'da al-yawm. Khalas. There is no more rest. No more rest after today. He understood the responsibility that came upon him. So especially for ulama, students of deen, those in doing work of deen, whatever way, there is no rest. Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah, I used to tell the people in Tabligh, karte karte marna, marte marte karna. We carry on doing the work of deen till we die. And marte marte karna, even while dying also, we're still doing the work of deen. And we find many ulama of the past, right till the last moments, they were involved in some work of deen. Allah Ta'ala took their life in that condition. So the work of deen has to continue. And as I said, it's not only for one or two people doing the work of deen. This is for all of us. Make dua, Allah, make us workers of deen. Make niyat and look for opportunities. How I can also serve. Alhamdulillah, people going yesterday. Some brothers who I know, they were gone to Rohingya. It's so sad the condition there in those camps. But alhamdulillah, some are wealthy people also, but still gone. And they're making the sacrifice, not easy. Going to all these difficult places. MashaAllah, these people keep on going and assisting. Even giving a small child some sweet or some chocolate or some clothing. Giving them some kitab. They're also studying madrasa. Boys are becoming hafiz of Quran. You're giving them some clothing. People got no shelter. You're taking some blankets for them. Taking them for them food. This is a great work this is. So we can also do some type of work, if not abroad, even local also. Locally also. Get the right people. Get the right people involved. Otherwise everybody start collecting money and then also there's another musibat. So go to the right people who are already doing the work or make mashwara. We need to help the particular location. They're also human beings, not necessarily the Muslim. They're human beings. They don't have water. Let's see how we can get water organized. I know people who have done. Let's see if we can dig a borehole. We've got so much of extra surplus. Oh, we make few people, 10 people, 20 people, each person contributes. After some time, we have sufficient money to just make a borehole for them also. So not just now, occasionally we just give something and we say, right, no. Become actively involved. Rasulullah SAW, amongst his beautiful qualities, when he became a Nabi and he came to Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, and he was so worried that I'm going to die now. She said, no. And amongst the qualities, what did he say? He praised him. He said, إِنَّكَ لَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, that you carry the burden of people. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, whenever there's some disaster problem, you're always assisting. This was his quality. رِفَعِي كَامْ, as we say. Helping the ummah at large. Be he Muslim or non-Muslim. So when he's just giving your money to them and saying, okay, very good, well and good at least. One is actively, physically going yourself, then you feel different. Then you understand how important it is. Then you get that feeling. Like in Ramadan, we fasting, then we realize how the poor people, what they must be going through. So physically, actively when you go, then you will see how you appreciate the ni'mat Allah has given you. And you feel so nice and so close, you feel happy that some good I did, may Allah accept it. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah help us to make amal. The maqsad is not to run down any person, denigrate any person, humiliate. Believe me, we all require islah. Nobody is perfect, but inshallah, as I mentioned once, person is sick in hospital and they put drips, drip by drip, drip by drip, slowly until he gets that nourishment again and his foot and he's strong. May Allah make us strong in his deed. Spiritually must be strong, physically must be strong. Ummah is going to great turmoil. So much of musibat everywhere. But we can carry on talking about all the musibat and the halat of the ummah and we're doing nothing ourselves. So what's going to happen? Nothing. There has to be a starting point, and the starting point starts with us. Whatever we can do and whatever we have to do to get our act right first, we must do it. And then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make Islam the entire ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.